give up. They let go. But Christ, he didn't sin. He didn't allow the suffering that he went through cause him to sin. You know, sometimes you look at people that are going through a divorce and they're going through a time of suffering because you've lost a relationship, you've lost a marriage, and you're going through suffering. And you know what they do? They begin to talk bad to the children. They begin to pit the one parent, pit the child against the other parent, and back and forth. That's sin. In the midst of suffering, what do? They get bitter, and they try to spew it off on somebody else. They try to bring somebody else into their sin. And it's easy to do that. But when you go through suffering, you got to come through it. What I say, sin-free. You got to come through sin-free. Some people...
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Called to Suffer, Part 4. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Called to Suffer, Part 4.
Be the name of the Lord. He praised God in the midst of all his situations. Where are you at? When you hit your hard times, when you hit your most difficult times in life, are you praising God? Are you still acknowledging that God is on the throne? Or is it bitterness, their bitterness in your heart? Do you go through it complaining? Oh, my brothers and sisters, we need to learn how to worship through suffering. Would to God that we all learn the lesson of Job. And learn how in the midst of going through hard times that we can still worship God. I tell you what, it would make things a lot easier. You know, as I said earlier, two lessons that they teach the soldiers in basic training. Number one, that you will suffer. Number two, that how you handle your suffering will depend upon how you come out. If you handle it the wrong way, guess what? Guess what? If you handle it the wrong way, you're going to be in it a lot longer than you should. If you handle it the right way, you're going to come out of it a lot easier than the average person will. Through it all, you've got to reach up. Reach up to worship God. Secondly, through it all, you've got to reach after. Reach after what? Reach after the example that Christ set. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And put your finger there and just turn back one page real quick. Maybe some of you, it might not be one page, but to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. It says, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Christ left us an example on how to suffer. So if we're going to come through suffering successfully, we've got to look at Christ. And we've got to look at the example that he set. Now look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. He said, as Christ has suffered for you in the flesh, that you've got to arm yourself with the same mind. Look at the notes. Peter encouraged believers to arm themselves with Christ's attitude concerning suffering. The word for arm yourselves is the Greek word hoposlese, and was used of a soldier who put on his armor. Believers are to take great care in arming themselves to do battle against suffering by following Christ's example. Notice what he said here. He said, arm yourself. arm yourself. In Ephesians chapter 6, what did Paul say? Put on the whole armor of God. So what is he telling us? This is what he's telling us. Somebody hear this morning. That when you suffer, you're in a battle. Yeah. You are in a battle. That anytime you go through suffering, you are in a battle. And so what does he say that you should do in the midst of the battle? He says that you've got to arm yourself. That you've got to realize that, hey, I'm in a battle here, and I better put on some armor. I better put on some things where I can do battle with. That every day when I get up, you know what? There's an enemy that's waiting to take me down. There's an enemy in this suffering that's willing to take me out. And when you get up, you got to see it. But see, if you get up murmuring, and you get up complaining, and you get up with a bad attitude about it, guess what? You've lost from Jump Street. You're behind the eight ball from Jump Street. But what you've got to do is that you've got to, man, Lord, I'm in a battle today. Lord, when I get up, this thing that I'm going through, Lord, maybe I've lost a loved one. And you know what? It hurts not to have my loved one here anymore. Lord, every time I think about not having my loved one here, it hurts. Well, you know what that means? That means that you're in a battle. Plain and simple, that you're in a battle from that point on. Now, the thing is, how are you going to come through that battle? If you don't arm yourself, then you're going to fall. If you don't arm yourself, then you're going to lose. It says, arm yourself with the same mind that Christ had when he suffered. Isn't it good to know you have an example? Isn't it good to know that you had somebody who broke this ground before you that you can follow after? He said, follow Christ's example. And let me say two things, and I'm not going to ask you to turn to the scriptures. They're there in the notes for you. The first thing that we see in Hebrews 12, 2, that Christ didn't give up, that he didn't give up. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let that mind be in you. And then he goes, says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before us, you know what it said? It said that he endured the cross. Jesus Christ endured the cross. He could have gave up. Any step along the way, Christ could have gave up. Well, you know what? This whip on my back is kind of hard. I can't take this, man. I give up. You know, This ridicule, these folk walking by saying, if you be the Son of God, why don't you talk yourself down? I can't take this ridicule. I give up. This crown of thorns on my head that has ripped my skin from my skull, I can't take it anymore. I give up. These nails that have been nailed through my hands and my feet, I can't take it anymore. I give up. The scripture says, arm yourself with the same mind that Christ had, who when he was on the cross, that when he was dying, that he endured the cross. You got to keep enduring. You got to find a way to keep on keeping on. And you know, the problem with us is when we get to the slightest bit of suffering, sometimes we just want to throw our hands up and quit. You know, it's just like that guy on the rack. You know, back in the medieval days, when they put that guy on the rack and they would start to stretch his body out, and he would holler out, oh, I can't take anymore. And then they would crank it another notch. Oh, I can't take it anymore. And they would crank it another notch. See, you know, we're like that. You know, when we hit suffering, we think that, oh, I can't take it anymore. No more, no more. And we just want to back off of it. And we want to get away from it. But somehow, some way, we've got to learn how to endure and not quit. There was a manager that stood up, and he was trying to motivate his salesmen in management. And he said, did Emmett Smith ever quit? And they said, no. He said that Michael Jordan ever quit? And they said, no. He said, did Bo Jackson ever quit? And they got quiet. They said, we never heard of him. He said, that's because he quit. The you gotta learn how to stick in there and be steadfast in the midst of suffering, in the midst of going through. Man, you know that there's a bright day coming. There's an end. You're gonna come out on the other side. But if you quit, nobody's gonna hear of you. And you know, Christ is our example. In the midst of suffering, Christ didn't quit. Also, in the midst of suffering, he didn't sin. He didn't sin. In the midst of suffering, look at 1 Peter, since you're already there, chapter 2, verse 22. It says here, who did no sin, when Christ was going through his suffering, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. That means when he was railed on and he was ridiculed and he was criticized and he was hated on, that he didn't hate back. When he suffered, he threatened not. That when he was going through suffering, that he didn't come break off and say, you don't know who my father is. You don't know that I can kill you guys. He didn't threaten back. It said, but he committed himself to him that judge righteously. He didn't sin. And I see a lot of people sometimes going through suffering. They sin. They stop reading their Bible. They stop exercising faith in God. They stop coming to church. People die. They won't come back into church anymore. They give up. They let go. But Christ, he didn't sin. He didn't allow the suffering that he went through cause him to sin. You know, sometimes you look at people that are going through a divorce and they're going through a time of suffering because you've lost a relationship, you've lost a marriage, and you're going through suffering. And you know what they do? They begin to talk bad to the children. They begin to pit the one parent, pit the child against the other parent, and back and forth. That's sin. In the midst of suffering, what do? They get bitter, and they try to spew it off on somebody else. They try to bring somebody else into their sin. And it's easy to do that. But when you go through suffering, you got to come through it, what I say, sin-free. You got to come through sin-free. Some people get angry, and we're going to talk about that next week. Some people get angry when they're, man, God, I can't believe you let this happen to me. I can't believe you let this go on in my life, God. Some people get bitter, and they just get angry. You know, sometimes, and I hate to say this, but I'm going to put this out. You know, sometimes as I have opportunity, and many of you have had the same opportunities I had, to go into nursing homes. Some people, you know, there's not a whole lot wrong with them. All right, you know, they might be sick or maybe, you know, but there's not a whole lot wrong with them. But you know what happens? They get bitter. They get bitter and they get angry. And then they just sit there. And the whole time they're upset. They don't want to talk to anybody. They don't want to speak. And because they're going through the suffering that they feel they're going through in the nursing home, they get angry and they get bitter. Man, God is looking for some saints that will come through that thing with the joy of the Lord in their heart, with the Spirit of God just overwhelming them and going forth with praise in their heart. See, in the midst of your suffering, you can sin. And you don't want to sin in your suffering, but you want to continue through. And you want to come through victoriously. Man, you want to come through on the other side saying, man, God, thank you for bringing me through. Thank you for bringing me through without doubting you, God. Thank you for bringing me through without sin in my life. God will bring you through it all. You've got to reach up through it all. You've got to reach after. You've got to reach after the example that Christ set, that he didn't give up and that he didn't sin through it all. And I'm going to close here today. You've got to reach within. You've got to reach within. Look at James chapter 1. James 1. In verse 2, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Count it all joy when you fall into suffering. It's very interesting, this word count. You know what it means? It means to bring to your mind. It means to consider with your mind. That you've got to be active. Now, look at I like what John MacArthur says here. The word count means to consider or bring to mind. The Greek verb count, listen to this. This is deep. It's in the imperative mood. Now, what that means is when it says imperative mood, that means it's a command. God's not saying, think about counting it or, wish to count it. But he's giving a command and saying, count it, joy. John MacArthur says the Greek verb hegomai, considered, is an imperative because joy is not the natural human response to trouble. Wow. God commands us to count it joy because joy is not the natural response to trouble. The natural response to trouble is complaining. The natural response to trouble is grumbling. He said, count it. You know, you don't have a choice. If you get into a period of suffering in your life and you start to moan and complain, you know what? You're in sin. I'm just going, oh, come on, Pastor. You know, the person is hurting, and they got the right. I'm just saying, the Bible said you're in sin. He said, count it joy. And notice what he talked about. If you'll turn it over there, he says, count it all joy. All joy. Trials, and the idea here is pure joy. And that is joy that's not mixed with any sorrow. Joy. Now, once again, he didn't say, now notice what he didn't say. All right, notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, be joyful because of your circumstances. He didn't say that. Because circumstances sometimes will not make you joyful. He didn't say, be joyful because of your circumstances. But what he said was, in the midst of your circumstances, count it all joy. He said, count it pure joy. That when you come before the Lord, that your joy is not mixed with any complaining or murmuring or sorrow. But it's pure joy when you come before the Lord. That, Lord, you know what? Man, Lord, I'm not happy that I broke my leg. Lord, I'm not happy that my dog bit me. I'm not happy, Lord, that I'm not happy about that, Lord. But you know what? In the midst of it, Lord, I'm coming before you, and in your presence, I'm going to count it pure joy. I'm going to count it joy. You know what? That'll change your attitude real quick. That'll change your attitude. But if I come in with joy sometime and complaining sometime, I've ruined it. He said, count it pure joy. And as I close this morning, let me give to you, what does it mean to count it joy? What does that mean? It means three things. It means, first of all, you got to bring to mind who you are serving. The apostles in Acts chapter 5 were beaten. They were beaten. After they got finished talking to them, they beat them. And when they got finished beating them, the Bible says that they went out rejoicing because they were able to suffer for God. You got to remember in the midst of this who you're serving and who you're representing. That God wants you to be a testimony to somebody else. And if you go through it grumbling and complaining, people are not going to see God in you. They're going to say, man, look, if you got God and that's what's happening in your life, I don't want anything to do with God. I don't want anything to do with, if that's the best that. Is that the best God can do? You say you're a Christian? You tell me you go to Bethany Baptist Church every Sunday? You talk about Pastor Glaze standing up, he's a Bible teacher. You sitting under that good word every week. and you come here in the midst of suffering and all you do is moan and complain, what kind of God is that? I don't have anything to do with that God. You know, I get more enjoyment out of going and get me a fifth of liquor. See, you got, man, God, I'm serving you in the midst of this. God, you are the one that is on show here. And isn't it funny how that people, when you say that you're a Christian and they see something in your life that's not lining up with the message, that one of the first things, and they say that they're a Christian. Well, you know, what is that? That's not necessarily a reflection directly on you. That's a reflection on your God. Well, evidently their God is not that powerful enough. Their God's not that strong enough that they got to go through it like this. So you got to realize that what does it mean to count it joy? You got to bring to mind who you're serving. The disciples were beaten, and they counted it joy that they were able to go out in the name of the Lord. The second thing that you got to do is you got to bring to your mind what the fruit of the Spirit produces in your life. That if you say that you walking with God and you got the Holy Spirit in you, well, what's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, what? Joy. So in the midst of suffering, there's got to be some joy in your life. Once again, not that you are joyful as to what happened to you, but you know what? Actually, let me move on to the next one. You got to bring to mind that your joy is not based on your circumstances. Now, I'm gonna turn here. I'm going to close with this right here. Philippians chapter 4. You got to keep in mind that your joy is not based on your circumstances. Well, you say, Pastor Glaze, where's my joy based at? I'm getting ready to tell you. He says in verse 4 of Philippians chapter 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. How come he just didn't stop? How come he just didn't say rejoice in the Lord always? Well, let me go back and read this statement by John MacArthur. The Greek verb consider is in the imperative mood because joy is not the natural response to trouble. So why did Paul say it twice? Because joy is not the that's Pastor Glaze there, right? But it makes sense. He said it twice. He said, and again, in case you missed it the first time, I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. And we know that Paul was from Pennsylvania. He said, now, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am in this to be content. Some of y'all get that a little bit later. Paul said, in whatever state he was, he said he learned to be content. Now, this brother was shipwrecked. He was beaten on several occasions. He was stoned and left for dead. He was in trouble in the country. He was in trouble in the city. And he could come back and write, I've learned whatever state to be content. Why? Because of the joy that he had talked about. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So as you think about through it all, you got to reach up and you got to worship God. Through it all, you got to reach after and you got to follow Christ. Through it all, you got to reach in and you got to find joy.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Called to Suffer, Part 5. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Called to Suffer, Part 4, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Called to Suffer, Part 4. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Called to Suffer, Part 4. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 11 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, come from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Yours can be anchored in the Lord.